Welcome to episode 2 of Words with a Wise Guy. Somehow we survived our first episode last week, and now we're going to march on into the second one. I'm John Wise. I'm assistant track coach at Wichita State. And every week we're talking to interesting people about things that I find interesting is basically what we're doing. This week we are here with Vaya Filios, and amongst a lot of interesting things she does, she travels around the world quite a bit, and that's definitely a topic of conversation that I'm interested in, and I think a lot of people would find some of her stories interesting. This is the first time we've ever met, so thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I want to also bring into the conversation Kurt Ryerson. I don't know, is there a camera on Kurt today?
No.
Okay,
no,
so they, you can hear Kurt.
Yes.
Kurt is a guy who works here at Wichita State TV and really does all the behind-the-scenes stuff here, and he's got a big race this weekend. Kurt, can you talk about what that race is?
Yes, it is this little race called the Chicago Marathon.
Oh, and,
yeah.
Yes.
So
it's
a bucket list race for me and my wife. We're both going this weekend with a group of Wichitans, and yeah, it's a pretty strong contingency.
Do we have a picture of Kurt running that we could put up, or maybe his face, like a full screen picture of his face?
Yeah.
If you work on Wichita State's campus, which I know your husband is a professor here, or he works here somewhere.
Yes, he does.
I guarantee he's seen Kurt running around campus because he does it all the time.
There you go. I'm the guy in the middle there.
Yes. There's the dot.
I will be, yeah.
With the black hair.
Right next to Galen Rupp.
Where will you start? Like, they put all the elite people in the front. Where will you be?
That's a good question. We're actually being staged with the elites because we are going with a team that's sponsored by Molex, which is a Coke company. And they actually are a huge sponsor. So they have their little runners tended right next to the elites. So when we go out for a Corral A, I think we kind of line up behind the elites. But like I said, it's 40,000 people. So
40,000. So what place are you hoping to finish out of 40,000?
That is a very good question. Yeah, I don't know. If I can, you know, make it sub 3, that's the only goal I have. And just make it through.
Sub 3.
Yeah. Sub 3 hours.
Sub 3 hours.
Right. Yeah. Can we talk about the fellow that just beat the world record by, was it 78 seconds?
Yeah. Mr. Kipchoge. I think we have a picture of that guy.
There it is.
Yeah, guy.
201. Okay,
so they're there.
201.40.
So this, okay, people hear 2 hours in a minute and think, well, that seems like a long time to run. But what they don't realize is how fast he's running for 2 hours.
I know, when you do the math, it's under 5 minute miles.
It's well under 5 minutes.
4:46.
Okay, so here's what we.
It's astounding.
We did a couple weeks ago in practice. We did 12 200 meter runs with our sprinters. Okay, so that's like a typical early season workout we do. And if you're not a track person, an outdoor track is 400 meters. A 200 is half the lap, and you know, four laps is basically a mile, close to a mile. And so we were doing 12 200s in something around 30 seconds, and we'd give them about a minute rest. And we'd do it, and then, you know, they're working hard, and they're getting tired, and by the end of it, they're you know, struggling to finish, and they're all running around 30. Some of them get slower, and they're maybe running 32 or 33 seconds. And I get on the PA in the stadium. I, you know, hook it in the speaker to the stadium PA.
Yeah.
And I go, okay, if anybody needs any motivation right now, you've done 12 of these, or getting ready to do the 12th one. The guy who just broke the world record did, and I want to say it was 210 200s in 34 seconds with no rest.
That is ridiculous.
He did 210 of them, and just a little slower than they were running them. And so it just puts in perspective how insane some of the athletes are in the world. So
right. I learned the term negative split when I read the article about the race.
Yeah.
I feel cool now that I know what a negative split is.
Yeah, that's a rare thing too.
Kurt, will you run even splits or are you going to negative split it?
Chicago is a course where they encourage you to negative split it.
Okay.
If you go out too fast, it's such a flat course that you'll burn up. If you go out, you know, hit that 21K mark, you know, and you're already 10 seconds under your, you know, goal pace per mile, you'll blow up.
And how many marathons have you completed?
This will be number 7.
Number 7.
Wow.
Number 7.
That's amazing.
Hopefully that's
lucky number.
Best one. So
all right.
Good luck.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of traveling.
Best of luck to you.
Guess a lot of we'll talk about traveling in front of you guys. You guys have a few miles under both your...
I think she's got way more than me.
Really different.
She's got way more than me. So real quick before we start talking about traveling around the world, to give people a little bit of an idea of who you are and like how you got to the point where you do things like that. So like you grew up, first time I've ever met you, we have a common friend and we've talked on the phone one time and had some text messages. So this is truly the first time we've ever hardly interacted. So, you know, how did you get to Wichita and as your home base and, you know, where did you grow up and what do you do basically?
Okay. So, I grew up in Las Vegas. We, as a family always traveled. We frequently went back to Greece where my family, my parents are from.
Greece.
So that started the travel. I had a passport at a young age. And we always, summers, we would go to my grandmother's house in this little tiny village in Greece and hang out. I think perhaps that's where...
So how old were you when you would go there and hang out in the summers?
I think I had my first passport when I was just a baby.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I've always had a passport. We've always gone someplace. Anyway, I mean, we can go further down the road. I went to graduate school in Arizona. I got an international MBA. And after graduate school, I got a job that involved a lot of travel.
Okay.
I was a corporate auditor. So I worked for large companies like Whirlpool and Sony. And they would send me to their satellite offices all over the place, literally all over the world. And I would look at their books.
Mm-hmm.
So... I did that for many years and that was exhausting and I hung up my suitcase. I said, I want to get a job where I'm staying in town, but then you're not traveling anymore.
Now you're so wanting to travel.
Now you have to go out of your way to travel. And that's what I do. I have kids that are potty trained and love to travel. And whenever we get a chance, we go. We also are hoarders. Frequent flyer miles.
Oh,
so if we get a frequent flyer mile,
okay,
we will try and get it. Just however. And yes. So this last trip I went this summer, we used miles for the airfare.
I'm still working on how to do that the best. So, you know, I've signed up with everything, all the different things, and I've not done a great job with that, but I know I need to do better.
Well, we moved here from Los Angeles for my husband to open up a manufacturing company.
Okay.
So he has a processing company in town, which is, I don't know if you know anything about aerospace and
very
plane
little
parts.
I tell the recruits that it's amazing here at Wichita State and how good the engineering school is. That's about what I know about it.
And
the kids on our team are way smarter than me.
when you're opening up a small business, there's a lot of costs to be incurred, and we use the credit card wisely to incur miles.
And awesome.
Just everything that you could put on a card, and you know you're going to pay it off.
So one of my favorite movie of all time, we're going to talk about movies later.
Oh, good.
Is a movie called Up in the Air with George Clooney. Have you ever seen that?
I have not seen that.
So
Up in the Air.
A lot of it is about him traveling for his job and incurring the miles, and he ends up buying a round the world thing for his sister who's getting married and stuff. But yeah, great movie. If you've never seen Up in the Air, it's my favorite movie of all time.
Is that the one where they show him going through security and he is just... Yes, I have seen that.
He's got it all figured out of which line to get in behind the certain people. I can relate to that movie more than anything in the world. But
I think everybody can relate when you get in that security line.
Yes.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So I might ask you about some of those things. okay, so I asked you this question you didn't know, so I'm going to try to ask you again. How many countries do you think you've ever been to?
Oh.
Just a ballpark. Can you ballpark it?
I don't know. Let's say 35.
35, okay. More than double that I've been to. So and I'm assuming you've been to some of those many times, like
some,
Greece or whatever.
Yes, Greece I've been to.
How many times have you been to Greece?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I go all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
And so how often do you go on a trip?
Our goal is to go somewhere overseas at the very least once a year.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to use our passport at least once a year. Last year, I think we went 3 times. We left the country.
And with your family?
One time last year, my husband and I went to a wedding in Korea. Okay. And it was just the two of us.
Okay.
We left That's the kids cool. with grandma.
Nice.
And it was nice.
So how, as you're figuring out now, if you got kids, how do you figure out where to go? Are you trying to take them somewhere different every time?
Every time.
Every time somewhere different.
Yes.
Okay, so what was the last couple trips you did and what it would be like the next one you're trying to figure out?
The last two we did is we went to London for spring break.
Okay.
And we took the kids to London and it was great. Spring break's just a week. We said we're just going to go to one place for 1 week and do everything. And you could take a week in London and see everything.
Yes, I've actually been there, so
yeah.
I agree with what you're saying.
It was wonderful. It was freezing cold, but we did all the classic London shots. The kids loved it. I mean, take the kids to Tower of London,
yes,
where they can see like the Armory and the.
So when I went there, I had a friend that lived in London, and
yes,
the thing she said was, it sounds kind of, you know, like I like to go places that aren't touristy, but she said, go to the touristy place.
Oh, yeah.
In London. You go to London, you got to go to see the, you know, that's what you do.
You have
to. There's museums and obviously the London Bridge and all those areas down there. Like, that's just what, that's the best things to do. And, you know, once you're there, you can go.
The kids loved it. We went to the Old Globe Theater. They loved the Old Globe Theater. It's often surprising about what they are going to like and not going to like. We wanted to go on the tall towers and see the view, and they're like, meh, they didn't really like the view anymore. They wanted to see the swords and the shields,
right,
and the suits of armor. And the Old Globe Theater, we had this fantastic tour guide who was really funny. He was like a bard himself, and they just thought he was hysterical.
Did you ride the subway?
We did the metro, yeah,
metro,
or the tube,
yeah.
Sorry, the tube.
The tube.
Absolutely.
That's what they call it.
I had a Mind the Gap picture with my son.
So did you notice how no one talked to each other on the tube?
You know what I noticed about London that really irritated me is there was a definitive lack of that English accent, which I really wanted to hear. Everybody was from everywhere else, and the nobody. I think I was like at a gift shop at the palace, and I finally found someone who had a proper English accent.
Well, so the very odd thing about London, which I had no idea before I went there, is how you live in the different zones.
Mm-hmm.
And based on where you live is how you associate socially. I don't know if you were there. I was staying with someone who lived in like zone 3. So zone 1's the very middle, zone 2's all the way on out. And I went to several different places. So I was actually there. I did some recruiting for track and field there. And so I went out to like zone 8. And this was right after the Olympics. They hosted the Olympics.
Yep.
So my friend was talking about, you know, people don't talk to each other because you are kind of, your status there is based on where you live.
Yeah.
So if you live in zone 2, you really can't hang out with people in zone 7.
Can't.
It's not, and it doesn't matter where you're from, what ethnicity you are, that it's more of a class kind of a, you know, situation. And so when they had the Olympics, they had all these international people there riding the tube, and everyone was talking to each other, and everyone from London thought how awesome this is. We should do this all the time because we're having so much fun interacting with each other. And she said, as soon as the Olympics were over, everybody stopped talking to each other.
That's enough.
And so that was, you know, we think about like problems that we have in this country that are bad, and other countries have weird cultural things that are, you know, that's not a good thing when you won't associate with somebody that you live far away from.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
based
I
on
agree.
Just where they live. I found that very odd. So, okay, so London, you went there, and where
right.
else did you go recently?
And then we, for the summer, I I took the kids to Greece for 2 weeks, and then my husband met us in Italy, and we rented a car, and we drove to Croatia, Slovenia, back to Italy.
Awesome.
And then we took the train to Switzerland, and then we flew back home. So it was really a tale of two trips.
Planes,
because it was
trains,
me
and
taking my kids to Greece so they could see, you know,
yeah,
where they're from, where I'm from, where I spent a lot of time in my youth, and they loved it. We had a great time for 2 weeks. We just went to the beach and looked at ruins, which is my favorite thing to do, is to go look at old rocks.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go see an old temple.
It makes you realize how young the United States is.
Oh,
doesn't it?
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's just like we're like a teenager here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you go over there and it's like, you know, grandpa's house with all these things in there. You know, you
find
it
mean,
in the corner
we
of the
were
house.
Staying with my aunt, and my grandfather had built that house. So, yeah.
Wow.
I know.
That's awesome. So you have been, how many continents out of the 7 have you been on?
I've been to all of the continents. Wait, Antarctica.
Antarctica?
No.
Okay.
No.
So you've been on 6 continents.
6 continents, yeah.
Okay, if you can try, is there a way to figure to say like each continent what your favorite place was. So I try to go somewhere different every year and exotic or somewhere that's out of my, you know, realm of normal. And but I want it to be awesome. I don't want it to be something I really didn't like, you know. So, like, as you're saying the best trips on each continent, can you run through it real quick? Can you think of what it
would
be?
Well, Africa's easy. I've only been to one place. We went to South Africa.
Okay.
So that was my favorite place.
Makes sense.
It was also pretty scary.
Yeah.
It was a scary place.
Would that be one of the most dangerous places you've ever been?
We did a tour of downtown Johannesburg, which in retrospect was not a really good idea.
Yeah.
It was not safe.
Johannesburg.
Downtown Johannesburg was not safe. And we're dumb tourists. So I know we were taking a bus tour around, and they pointed out, they said, this is the longest bar in the area. It's a big, long bar.
Like drink?
Literally, yeah.
Okay.
So we got done with the tour, and we're like, let's go and have a drink at the bar. So we went to this bar. There was nobody there. There was all this wild game on the wall, too, because this was South Africa.
Right.
So we had a couple drinks, and then we were like, all right, let's go. We'll go get a cab back to the hotel. And we went downstairs. We went to the little lobby, and we said, can you call us a cab? He says, you don't have a cab. We go, no. He's like, just a minute. Mm. And then he walked us out, and I had my kids with me, and it became like a big ordeal. Like, we should not be on the street looking for a cab.
Yeah.
Not this late at night. We didn't think it was that late. So in retrospect, that was a really bad idea. we won't do it again.
I mean, to laugh, but it is a little bit like picturing. I can understand, because I've definitely put myself in situations I shouldn't have. But, you know, you look back and go, that was not smart.
That was dumb.
Yeah.
We didn't really get anything out of that bar.
Okay, so South Africa. How about Asia?
My favorite place in Asia, I don't know. I spent a lot of time in Hong Kong for work, and I really did enjoy Hong Kong.
Yeah.
I like the intensity of the city and the, so Hong Kong.
How about North America? Where's your favorite place in North America? Around, maybe in the States or in North America?
I don't think it should count.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Do you travel domestically much?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Mostly you're trying to go out and go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, New York City, you could say New York City.
Yes. New York City. I was just there this week.
Chicago's a lovely place as well.
It is. Chicago.
Chicago's a great town.
Yeah. Okay. South America.
Oh. I was in Caracas, Venezuela, and that was not safe either, if you want to talk about what's not safe.
Venezuela.
But I was there. I was a single person with no kids for work.
So this was before their economy crashed and everything.
This was, Chavez was running for president at the time. And I remember people saying, I think this Chavez guy's going to win. but they would not let us go anywhere. It was there for work. So they drove us everywhere all over Caracas. And they, there were guys with armed guards in front of everywhere. But the people were lovely. But it was not safe.
Awesome. Okay, Europe.
Oh, my favorite place in Europe. That's not even possible.
Besides, I mean, it has to be Greece, right?
No, it can't possibly be Greece.
Can't possibly, okay.
It can't. Yeah. I just went to some fantastic places. I went to this summer. I had been to Slovenia before, but it was in the wintertime, and I went again this summer. And Ljubljana, Slovenia.
Ljubljana,
which is
L-J-U. You made that up.
Oh, is he going to find it? Ljubljana, Slovenia was phenomenal. It was the surprise of the century. So beautiful.
Yeah.
The people were so nice. Huh. There was, I'm not even exaggerating, every window had flowers on it.
Mm.
Like every window. It's like the...
Not something I would have noticed.
it became ridiculous, because I remember we were driving out of Slovenia, and I'm like, this, even at the border, cascade of flowers out of every window. Just, there it is.
I would have noticed where the tracks are. I find the tracks, not the flowers.
The tracks.
Ljubljana. Oh.
There's Ljubljana.
So, I think that's always kind of fun, of trying to, you kind of find a surprise somewhere that you don't realize. You may be going somewhere, and then you end up somewhere else, and you're like, wow, I didn't even think about that being an awesome place.
I had even been there before.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize how awesome it was, because when I was there, it was January, and it was all frozen. And
yeah. different.
There's the castle. They have a beautiful castle on the top. It's gorgeous.
Oh, wow.
I recommend that. It's kind of a romantic little city. It's like a tiny little Paris in the middle of mountains. Because
so for all the couples out there, if you're looking for something different than Paris.
You will not be
maybe go to Paris, then hop over there.
Hop over.
Yeah. Okay, so these are all the places some of the places you've been. Where have you not been that you want to try to go or you want to try to get the kids exposed to? Or,
Machu Picchu. That's definitely on the list. Yeah. You probably want to hike up the trail.
Isn't that what you have to do? I mean, what else would you do?
No, there's a really nice train that goes up.
Oh.
You could hike a little bit of the way.
Train for sure.
I'm not a camper.
I am not a fit person like Kurt. I was a sprinter. Sprinters were always trying to avoid running as far as we can. We run fast, but we don't run very far. So the train sounds great.
They have a beautiful train.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe we could talk about the altitude. People always talk about the altitude, but I think it's about as high as maybe Kurt could find out for us. It's about as high as Denver.
Okay.
So that's not
bad.
No, it's not like Breckenridge.
Oh yeah.
Like Breckenridge is.
Yeah.
There you go. 7,000.
I've gotten sick in
there. 7,92. Okay. And what's?
Breckenridge is like 10.
Ten or twelve.
Right? Yeah. So Denver. That's probably
Denver's five.
Maybe yeah. So that's in between.
Yeah. It's
not
really
bad.
Not that bad.
It isn't that bad.
Yeah. So. So good. You and I, Machu Picchu. I want to take my kids to Machu Picchu. I know they'd love it. I want to go to Peru.
Yeah, I want to go there. I'm thinking about, so everybody asks me every summer, because I've, you know, made it a thing to do this every summer, kind of like you're talking about, trying to do something different every summer. I've done it for the past 5 years or so. And I'm very intrigued by the Easter Islands.
Oh, you are?
And you can go to, through like Peru down to Chile. So I thought I would maybe do that. So I'd hit Peru and Chile, fly over to Easter Island for a couple of days, come back. You know what I mean? Kind of like that. And if you ever want to try to get to Antarctica, that's kind of like you got to go that way too.
Yeah.
Until you set through South America. So you probably have to do that. You need to go to Antarctica to knock that one off your list.
I can't. My kids have to be older. I think the youngest has to be 16.
Really?
So we've thought about it. I mean, it's out there. It's the price tag. You can't do that on frequent flyer miles.
Right. And I think you can only do it at certain times of the year.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like November to March or something, or
I don't know.
And then do you have to like take a boat, or like you can't fly?
I think
there.
You can take a boat like to the edge.
Yeah.
And then
basically say you're there, and then
essentially, I think that's.
Yeah.
I mean, it has to be enough. I don't really want to go trekking on the tundra.
No, just say that you did it.
Yeah.
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 I agree.
We'll just see it. It's fine. I mean, you know, you can also and then stop in Argentina, Patagonia.
Yes. Have you been there?
No.
Okay.
That's so we want to go there. I'd rather go to Machu Picchu first.
Yeah. Okay. So. I had a friend that went there recently. She said it was great.
Yeah.
And she did the hike and about died, but it was, she said it was worth it.
Really?
Yeah, totally. But, okay. So after you do these trips and you get back, so a couple things I noticed. So how long do your trips usually last?
At least 10 days.
Okay. And when I got back this summer, because I stayed almost a different place every night as I was driving around or whatever. I got back. It was about a week or two. Not only the time change obviously messes you up. I didn't know where I was when I woke up. That
happened this to me when I got back.
Or if I didn't know people were there. I didn't know what time of day it was. I didn't literally know where I was. That's a weird feeling.
It is a weird feeling. I woke up that the first couple mornings, looked up at the ceiling, and it's my ceiling. It's my fan. I had no idea.
And the weird thing for me is I'm a single guy, I live alone, but I traveled with somebody this summer, and I didn't know if there were people there when I woke up either. That was a strange feeling, wondering if I'm, like, laying there and if people are around me. That was a strange thing that happens.
And where?
I was in New Zealand and Fiji.
In New Zealand and Fiji.
Yeah.
So okay.
Highly recommended both of them. So really good. Okay, so what about when you get back? You get rested. Do you feel antsy to go somewhere else pretty quick again?
Always. We always feel a little sad when we come back because it was always so much fun. It's different. And you're back to the same old thing. It's hard to get back.
Yeah, it is. I've a couple times I've got out there and I'm like, you know what? I just like to do this. I like track coaching. That's awesome. It's like the best job there could ever be because I get to go out and work with people and coach track, and they somehow pay me to do it. This right. university pays me to like go teach people how to run. But I'd like to keep doing this. Let's just keep doing this.
Yeah.
You know, traveling and seeing stuff. As you kind of realize how small our little world here is in the United States, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you get back, does your perspective change about your world, or have you noticed your kids, how their perspective on the world has changed compared to maybe other kids their age that hasn't been able to do things like that? You know, it's such a, you know, life-changing event to go through the world and see something and then come back and realize how.
I really wonder, because my children have been traveling. Like, I took my youngest when he was 18 months old. We went to Greece.
He probably didn't remember that.
He doesn't. We have some great pictures of a little baby in front of the Parthenon. But they've always been, like, when I took my youngest on the safari to South Africa. Mm-hmm. And we went to Colombia, and they went swimming in a volcano. And we've done all those things. And so I wonder, maybe they're jaded because, you know, 9/11, they've been to all those places already.
Wow.
I don't know. Yeah.
That'll be interesting, because I didn't really start till I was older. So maybe I had a little more appreciation for it. When I was young, my family would always take us on trips around the United States.
Mm-hmm.
We'd hop in the car and we'd travel to Florida, or we'd go to Oklahoma. I'm from Ohio, so coming to Oklahoma or Texas would be like a long trip.
My grandfather
lived in Oklahoma. So that would be, you know, that was, but I just remember being in the back of the car going, how long until we get there?
Yeah.
Like that was, so.
Classic.
Is that a struggle? For people out there that have kids and that want to travel to Europe, or what is advice for them and how?
My advice this summer, I'm not trying to give myself credit, but I did it right. Before we got on that plane, I said, you're leaving all of your electronics home. I go, we're going on a month-long trip, and you're going to learn how to be bored. You will be bored.
Yes.
I'm not going to keep you entertained. I can't possibly keep you entertained all this time, but we're going to go do fun stuff. So they did, and they loved it. They looked out the window. At one point, I had gone to Athens because I wanted to show my kids Athens, and we were staying at a hotel, and they sat on the balcony and just watched people go by. Mm-hmm. Do you remember doing that as a child?
Yes.
Kids, they don't do that anymore because they're sitting in front of a screen. So, and then we went to another hotel, and there was no balcony, and my son's like, there's no balcony. I'm like, I know, that's the window. You don't have your window to the world. So, So my point is, what I did right is I said, you need to learn how to be bored. It's okay for kids to be bored. They need to. It's really important.
Yes.
I can't entertain my kids. So I know people worry a lot when you travel with children about the flight and the international mm-hmm. flight, because you're going to be on a tube for 8 hours, 10 hours. If you're going to go to Australia or New Zealand,
right.
It's going to be, I think, 1,000 hours.
Trip. Yeah.
Yeah. To a kid, it's a long time.
Yeah.
But, for us adults, a coach seat is horrible, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's so uncomfortable, and we're there for so long. But when you're 63 pounds, a coach seat is like first class. And you have a screen in front of you, and you have every movie you want to see, and people bring you food with all the little compartments, and there's always something sweet. So, yeah, the flight's the easiest part.
Okay.
Totally.
I wondered about that. Yeah, because that's true. I was asking that question thinking about my perspective of, yeah, I just hope I don't sit next to someone that smells bad.
Yeah.
Or like chews with their mouth open.
Right.
Or, you know what I mean? For 12 hours or something like that. And so, so that's interesting. So I was reading an article about, I can't remember where it was, but they were talking about people's impression of traveling. So when you were talking about the kids, and this article was talking about how your memory of that trip is always different than the reality. So sometimes the travel there, you know, you don't take pictures of waiting in the airport for 4 hours for a layover. You don't take a picture of, you know, trying to figure out in Bangkok where the train is going to get you to the hotel or whatever. You don't, you take pictures of the fun stuff, and that's what your memory is. But it's a lot of hard travel.
It is.
To get to some of those places you're going. And so you have to have patience. And when you're talking about, you're going to have to teach kids to be bored, I think that's a really terrific point that probably people don't think about.
Yeah.
So did you kept your phone?
I kept my phone for pictures. And also, I mean, you know.
Communicate with your husband or something like that.
Right. Also, I have to admit, when it was late at night and we're at dinner and everybody's talking and they're bored.
Yeah.
I'd give them my phone so they can play some stupid game.
I gotcha. So with limitations, they had some sort of connection.
Right.
So you said you traveled professionally.
Yeah.
So did you enjoy that? Did you get tired of that? Did you, you know, were you able to see stuff, do stuff while you were out there traveling? Or
you could. I mean, if you were there for several weeks at a time, you'd take your weekend and you could go, you know, on a weekend jaunt somewhere.
Yeah.
My best weekend trip while I was traveling was in Venezuela. We went to this place called Canaima, and we went and saw Angel Falls, which is the highest falls in the world. And
wow. In Venezuela.
In Venezuela, yeah. And we flew on this little into the jungle, and then a truck picked us up with animal prints on it, and they took us to this hut, and it was on the side of a river that we stayed, and then we hiked through the jungle. Yeah, that's it.
That's
the Orinoco Forest. That was a weekend that was amazing, and then we went back to crime-ridden Caracas.
Hmm.
But of all the trips I went while I was working, that was the best.
That was the best one.
And we just fell into it. The receptionist at the office is like, "You guys have a weekend? Let me schedule this for you."
Yeah.
And so she,
That's always. Lovely. I think that's important: is asking people stuff to do, like not always planning every little detail out. I think some people try to, like, I'm going to plan every hour of this trip.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've found, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'll plan, okay, here's where I'm going to stay, and then maybe a couple things I want to do, and then I'm going to kind of figure it out as I go. Because there's going to be stuff to do. Like, if somebody came to Wichita, didn't know anything about Wichita, there's stuff to do here, but they need to ask, you know, ask me, I'll tell you where to go.
Right.
Don't look on the internet, you know what I mean? I'm going to say, go to Keeper of the Plains at 9 o'clock, or whatever, you know what I mean, or something like that.
I have to do that. I haven't done that.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, I know.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Jeez, that's my problem.
Yeah. the kids would like it too. Yeah.
They would. They would. We do the same thing.
Yeah.
We do. We're gonna stay here, here, and here. We did Airbnbs on this last trip, which was amazing.
Yeah.
And we just filled it up in between.
Yeah.
We're like, I know I've got to be in Zagreb at 6 o'clock to meet the Airbnb person, and then that's it. Then we can figure it out.
Have you had any terrifying travel experiences, like you said, the little plane or whatever.
Right.
Have you had any situations like that where you're like, "Ooh, man, I'm glad I'm getting off this plane"? Or
for aircraft, air travel?
I guess you could be
not air travel. A lot of boat. I remember being on a in Bombay. I was in India, and we were in Bombay, and we took a. We only had one day in India. They work on Saturdays, so over our weekend, we only had one day. So we did a little day trip to these caves, and I was on the sketchiest ferry boat with my coworkers, and we're like, we're going to crash or we're going to get kidnapped. This is terrible. But somehow we didn't.
Have you been to Bangkok?
I have not been to Bangkok.
So the taxi drivers.
Yeah.
They're crazy.
Oh,
so there's the roads, whoever designed Bangkok. So you know how there's a job called city planner and they try to figure
out. Yeah, no such thing.
They didn't have that.
When they didn't have it in a lot of places.
They just squeeze in hey, we've got a little bit of real estate. We'll put a road here, even though it has no way to fit in with the other roads. And so you're riding along in these taxis because there's only cars out there are taxis. People don't have cars really over there. So there's 1,000 taxis everywhere in Bangkok. And they're driving crazy. But the really interesting thing is none of them have road rage.
No.
Because they're so used to it. It's just normal.
Yeah.
So I was asked because guys were cutting each other off and this and that, and I'm like talking to the guy and he's like, "Oh, this is normal, no problem." They cut it off and he cuts him off, and it's just, I'm like, this is insanity.
I mean road rage, they'll really never get anywhere if everybody's screaming at each other.
Yeah. I mean, you go to like New York or somewhere like that, or, you know, they're, it's just different. So yeah. Okay, so what are tips for someone that's wanting to maybe start traveling? And it's scary to think about going somewhere totally, you know, obviously we're proponents of go do it, but what are some tips that you'd have for them, whether it's maybe they're worried about how much it costs or they're, you know, just scared to go to a foreign. I know a lot of people just, yeah, I'd like to do that, but it just seems, I don't want to go by myself or, you know, a lot of women feel that way. I don't want to travel by myself.
I've never really traveled just by myself. I mean, I traveled alone, but it was for work, and I had coworkers that were meeting me there.
Right.
So, I don't know. I mean, I think I would caution a female traveling by herself.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they can't do it. Of course they can, and people do it all the time, but just be careful. For people just traveling, you said it yourself, like you really just have to do it because there's a million reasons not to. There's always a million reasons not to.
Yeah.
And, we are always putting it off to the last minute because of all those reasons.
Yeah.
Right? We're like, we want to go here and we're going to go in June, and then we don't make the reservations till May because all those things that let's wait and until we finally go, we're just going to do it. And so we book it and we go.
Right.
So you just have to book it and go. Don't worry that it's last minute, because that's fine. You'll be fine.
And then what about, like, you said Airbnb, ways to keep things more expensive? Because a lot of the world is cheaper than the United States. If certain places you go, some places are more expensive. But, you know, what are some things you've done that you'd be like, wow, I just ate all my meals for like $3 today?
Yeah. Airbnb was a bargain.
Yeah.
Because the kids had a room. We travel. We have a couple of friends that we travel with all the time. So there's six of us usually traveling together. And to get like hotel rooms and breakfasts and all that other stuff, it's so much more expensive. So the Airbnb was, you know, it was like a house with three bedrooms for $93 a night.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you can't.
Yeah. A hotel. Yeah, you can't do that. Even a hotel.
Can't do that. No. Yeah. So we have we had great luck with the Airbnbs this summer. And I also had it's so much easier now to travel just to get hotel rooms, because you can just get it on your phone and find it, and you know the neighborhood, and you can cancel it whenever you want. So I did that quite a bit this summer as well.
Are you adventurous in your eating? Go somewhere, you try something. Are the kids that way too? Or are they?
They are very, yes.
Really? What are some of the
craziest
things?
It's my only success as a parent is my kids will eat anything. And I tell them, I'm like, you will, because people, we go to someone's house, they're like, well, your kids, I go, they will eat whatever you have.
Right.
They will eat it. So you don't have to order them pizza or anything. Just whatever you have.
What's the most unusual thing or something that surprised you?
I bought a clip. In Korea, we had, we went to this fish market where they have everything in a tank, and you order it alive and then they cook it for you.
Okay.
And we had live octopus.
Mm.
Yeah.
Never had that. That was good?
No.
Oh.
No, it wasn't good. They brought it to on a plate and it was still wiggling, and they poured some sesame oil or something,
so
and they put sesame
seeds
on it. Yeah. Yeah, and it's like eating a knuckle. Like,
I've never eaten a knuckle.
It's disgusting. I've never eaten a knuckle either, but I imagine
it doesn't help.
That's what it would be like.
And the kids ate it?
No, the kids did not come with us to Korea.
Oh, okay.
But I'm certain they would have eaten it.
Yeah.
They would have eaten it. At least I tried it. I got like, well, obviously I have to try
and
it.
And this is just normal.
So I tried it, and
there.
I said, that's not good. And then I tried it again. I go, nope, that's really not very good at all.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I had some advice when I went to Asia about, I heard all these horror stories about people getting sick like the first day they got there.
Yeah.
So I tried the first half of the trip to not be too crazy and venture out and eat at a restaurant that looks like it's got, you know.
But you never know.
Right. And so I probably paid more than I should early in trips for that. And then by the end, I'm like, so where's the street vendor? I'm going over and getting something, whatever it is. I'm going to buy
it. Have you heard the thing about the heat?
No.
Okay, so I was I went to India for work, and I was petrified that I was going to get sick in India. So I went to this infectious disease doctor. I was living in LA at the time, and they have cool stuff like infectious. I went there, and I said, I'm going to India. I need all the shots, whatever you got. Give me whatever pill I could run, you know, just give it all to me. And he goes, the only thing you have to remember, he goes, I'll give it all to you, but you have to remember, don't eat it unless it is steaming hot.
Yeah, I have heard that.
Right? And then also don't eat too much. Don't overfill your stomach, because then the bugs could get through easier.
Interesting.
And I did not get sick in India at all.
That's good. I've never been sick on any of the trips I've been on.
I have not either.
Yeah,
I have
I'm
a pretty
sure I will next time.
Solid stomach. I know, I'm sure.
I was watching.
I'll be searching
YouTube,
for a medium.
The great thing, besides being able to watch us, obviously, on YouTube, but like on YouTube, you get all these people that are travel bloggers, and they do these videos, and I get into watching these videos. Like, I get in a rabbit hole at 11 o'clock at night, and 3 o'clock in the morning I've watched about like entire, you know, Asia trip some guy
Amazing.
That's where they guy was talking about what to eat, and the same thing, they would come to a thing and they had all these sandwiches lined up, and it was like, yeah, don't get that. You got to get the one that he made right in front of you.
Right.
Watch it make it. So
even though, I mean, probably my raw octopus was a bad idea as well.
Yeah.
But it was fine.
Well, it was fresh.
It was. Indeed it was. I mean, it was the freshest octopus I've had.
Okay, last question about traveling, and then we're going to hit a couple other points before we go. What are some pet peeves that you have? Pet peeves are kind of like a favorite thing for me to discuss sometimes.
But I know.
As you're traveling, and what are some pet peeves that you have? Maybe we'll share some pet peeves.
Maybe we'll share. My biggest one is when you're in an airport, you see it a lot in domestic travel. You don't see it as much in international, is when you see the person carrying their home pillow. That literally kills me.
Yeah. What do they think?
What? I mean, the seats are small enough. There's not enough room for like a standard size pillow.
So then in the movie Up in the Air, he's teaching this girl to travel, and she brought her pillow with her. And he takes it and throws it right in the trash can. And he's like, they got pillows on the plane. They don't worry about it.
Oh, I have to watch that movie again then just to see that scene.
I think most of the pet peeves are, are to me, centered around the airport.
The airport, yeah.
You know, the ones that get me are the security. Now I'm pre-checked now, so I skip the security, which is like the greatest thing ever. So pay the $75 or $80, do pre-check, and you don't even have to get to the airport early at all. Just whoosh. I was in flying back from Baltimore last week, and it was a 5:20 flight in the morning or something, can't get up in the morning. And I got an extra half an hour sleep because I just strolled right in.
Pre-check.
There was no one there. And I'm, seeing the line for half an hour over there. Didn't check any luggage. And I got to the airport 45 minutes before the flight. 35 minutes before the flight, I'm sitting and waiting to get on, So the pre-check
is
the way to go.
I have to apply for the pre-check.
No, it's awesome.
And the global traveler as well. So you get the short line when you go through customs.
Yeah, I haven't done that.
I was going to do that, but my passport was expiring, so I got to renew my passport, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So I have to do both of those. Thank you.
Yeah. So, but if you're in the line, do you think about do you look at the three different lines of security and go, I'm going to pick that one because
Always.
Of a certain reason?
Well, no, I don't anymore because a lot of times you do not have a choice.
That's true.
Right? They just kind of shuttle you in.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You want to avoid the one with kids or the old people. Yeah. Those are the two, I think. That
with the small kids.
Yeah, not to discriminate against anybody. They're nice people, I'm sure.
They do not have your kids take their shoes off, which makes it a little faster.
Yeah.
So.
The other thing is always interesting to me is getting on the plane, because the plane is not leaving until everyone gets on the plane, but everyone wants to get on the plane first. And maybe it's because of the overhead space is sometimes limited, but when that's not the case, I always wonder, why do you want to get on the plane immediately. Because you got to sit there. I'd rather be out hanging out in the lobby.
Yeah.
So I'm usually one of the last people that gets on the plane, especially if I'm kind of traveling light or I check my bag with the person at the counter.
I know. Then you.
But we're all going the same place. You know, it's not like you're gonna get there quicker.
Let's be nice, folks.
Yeah.
Gonna be fine.
So good stuff. So if someone wants to follow your travels, is there a place like Instagram, or do you have things like that, pictures, website?
I have Instagram and Facebook, and all my friends follow, certainly. Yeah. So my travels this year, I had some nice pictures. I don't know if you could show pictures. You want to know what the surprise was. Ljubljana was the surprise, and then in Croatia we went to Plitvica Lakes. Which is a national park.
Okay.
And they have gorgeous lakes, and they have, I guess there was a lot of swimming in the lakes, and they stopped it because they want to preserve them. And so they created all these wooden footpaths. And so you can essentially walk right up to these waterfalls and along these gorgeous lakes. Mm. And
probably for free.
No. Oh, it's a national park. You have to pay to get in.
Oh, okay.
And one hike is going to be 2 hours to go to the waterfalls, and then you walk this way. And anyway, it was beautiful. If you could put some pictures up there, you will not be disappointed.
How
it
do
was
you spell it?
Plitvica.
Okay. There you go.
Is it that hard? No.
Well, it's not the easiest word.
It's not.
Spell.
It's really. There you go.
There's some pictures. So for those of you listening on iTunes, just imagine what she was talking about.
It is these gorgeous.
Oh, wow.
It's like being in an enchanted.
That is.
It's gorgeous.
Crazy looking.
And you walk right around it. Wherever you go, you can. It was to the point where you had to stop taking pictures.
Yeah, and just.
And just
take it
look
in.
At it.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. There awesome. It is. Just gorgeous. So we stayed at this really cool, rugged Croatian hotel where they barbecued meat outside. Mm-hmm. And then you would hike up into the park. And there's the trails. Just gorgeous. See that? The path.
That's what you want on.
You walk right along the path all over the park.
I've got to go there.
You really do.
To go there.
Really do.
All right. I've got a lot of good things. A lot of interesting places to check out. So definitely.
So where are you going next?
I'm either South America or Africa. I haven't been to either one of those. Or, I don't know. I want to kind of wait and decide later. But those are two continents I've never been on. I've got a friend in Africa.
Oh, you do?
That will take me to not just South Africa, but to some of the other places in Africa. And then South America is the other continent. Like Easter Island, like I mentioned, that was intriguing. Those statues that they have there.
Yeah.
There's like 800 of them. And I don't know why, but that just seems... The thing for me... Because I've done a lot of traveling by myself. There's the those things are, it's just insane.
It is crazy.
That's a weird deal. That just seems like I like weird, out of the way.
You're a rugged traveler.
Things, yeah. So when I went to
Asia, for real? Is that real?
That's a real thing.
Really?
It's a real thing. Look at that. And they think is that what they think it is, or is that what it? I don't know.
That's the alleged
picture,
truth.
The alleged
it.
Of why yeah. that's like that. Yeah. So when I went to, for the first time, I went to Southeast Asia, and totally out of my element, like, it took me a couple days of just being unbelievably uncomfortable before I figured out what I was doing by myself, and then I loved it. So once I did that, I'm like, okay, I want to get out of my element a lot. It was really healthy for me to do that, to come back, and to have perspective. So then I went to Iceland. And
you did go to Iceland,
I did that, and... drove around by myself in a van and slept on the side of the road and all that kind of stuff. And then I'd heard, well, if you liked Iceland, you'll probably like New Zealand. So I'm going to do that. So I'm just trying to top each one and do the most exotic thing I can think of within my budget or whatever. But so
exotic.
The rugged yet – I'm not a rugged person. I'm not a huge
I think
camper.
You're a rugged person. You can't say that. It's too late.
I mean – I can handle the traveling, but I'm not like a – guy that hikes and camps a lot, but I can do it. I can, you know, I get a van, sleep on the side of the road. I can do that. But pitch a tent and make a fire and cook my, like, I'm not, that's not.
No?
No, not as much.
Yeah, like, I don't want to sleep anywhere if it's not in a hotel or somewhere on a bed. I need a bed.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. So. okay, awesome stuff. So I want to hit a few things before we go because we just went about 40 minutes talking about that. That just flew by.
Oh.
And so a few things I want to talk about, and maybe Kurt could give his input, or I know Greg's back there. He might give some input. So you've been in Wichita how many years?
8 years.
And I've been here 13. This is year 13 for me. And I think that this month, October, which is actually when I was born too. So this,
happy
I think
birthday.
It's a great month. Thank you. Is the best month for weather. It's cooling
it
off.
Really
today's going to be hot, but... I think the weather is awesome. So, Kurt, do you know how it's going to be in Chicago for your marathon and how that affects you when you're running your race?
I think it's going to be kind of a carbon copy of what we're having in the Midwest. I mean, I think it's projected to be at least starting line in Chicago. It's supposed to be 50 degrees, a little bit of rain, but nothing torrential, you know, just enough to...
As I say how awesome the weather is, we look at the forecast, it's like the worst weather we probably could have.
Well, look at the 80s. That's ridiculous.
There's rain?
Yeah, there's a lot of rain coming up.
Yeah.
That's going to be rough for our golf scramble. We got a Wichita State golf fundraiser on Monday, so we'll have to deal with that. But we'll deal with it. So that's pretty uncommon, I feel like.
Yeah.
That looks more like April when we're trying to host track meets. But
it's
so scratch
Whitten.
That. We'll edit that out. No, just kidding. So Cassie Craig, who, if you're a Wichita State track and field fan, you know who Cassie Craig is. I'm not sure you probably don't.
Not that I'm
Cassie,
not a fan.
You're not. You're becoming a bigger fan every day. But Cassie Craig was one of our former athletes. She was a pole vaulter, and she did some hurdles, and she has become a YouTube sensation. She got on American Ninja Warrior a few years
really?
Ago.
Oh, really?
And she's a super athletic girl. And the keynote, you know, like Apple does this opening film, this keynote thing. They put a film in Cassie. As we're watching here, is the star of the film. She's a stunt.
Wow,
she's a
I
stunt
didn't know
person.
That.
She's a singer. She does some acting. And so
amazing.
When you hear, as they come in, this is the you'll see Cassie pop out here and start doing all kinds of athletic things. There she is running. And
go, Cassie.
When we see this, it's funny because like I kind of helped her learn how to run. And so then she's jumping and she's doing all these athletic things. So there she's hurdling, like she's doing some things like that. Ooh. Yeah, that's all Cassie. And so if you follow her on Instagram or social media, she shows all these kind of things that she does behind the scenes. So this video went up, and I think it got 500,000 views in the first day. And I don't even know what it has now. It's probably over 1 million. But shout out to Cassie. We're going to get Cassie on this podcast. I was talking to her actually before this, and she's like, she'd love to do it. But she's now living in Atlanta, and she's a stunt person on a television show in Atlanta. So that's kind of cool. And she's from Mays, Kansas, went to Wichita State. And so
how's her form there, Coach?
Well, I am going to give her a hard time. When we have her here, we're going to break this down just like we would in some film study. And I'm gonna definitely give her a hard time about some of the things. But yeah, that was pretty cool. So if you haven't seen that, just search for the Apple keynote, you know, address 2018.
I will.
So in track and field, we just had our stadium reconfigured. So you met with Ben in terms of do you do much running?
No.
So if you come out to the stadium sometime and you wanna, we just have a brand new track. So they just put brand new surface.
I will bring my son out.
Yeah. So he's an aspiring runner.
He's aspiring, correct? Track and field, yeah. Cross country.
So
yeah.
In May we're hosting the American Conference Track and Field Championships. So it's a big meet, and that's going to be in Cessna Stadium, and there's going to be a bunch of terrific athletes there. So we have our stadium redone. So if you're around the area, you should swing by and check it out. So it's looking good. We're actually, I think, going to put in a scoreboard too. So we're excited about that.
Very nice.
So
exciting
the
stuff.
We talked about the marathon world record holder, the world record earlier. Mm-hmm. That same morning when that happened. So I woke up and I saw the world record in the marathon. And then you might not be aware of this, but the same morning, the decathlon world record was broken. So decathlon, track and field event. There's Kevin Mayer, and he broke the world record, which was set by Ashton Eaton, who was at the University of Oregon. He actually is a guy that we knew here at Wichita State because we competed against Ashton a lot, and this guy broke the world record. So it's interesting, two of the more signature events of the track and field world, the marathon and decathlon, the world records were literally broken within minutes. I thought that was kind of an interesting thing as I woke up, and you don't see world records very often anymore.
I mean, a decathlon world record as well is amazing, but he didn't get quite the press.
He
as marathon.
No, he got very little press. It happened over in Europe. He's a French guy, so to an American, it probably doesn't even matter at all.
ESPN that day, I mean, it was all about Kipchoge's marathon, but nothing about Mayer. Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So, and he probably could even do better. His last event, the 1500. Was not near his personal record.
No.
He looks like he's fairly fit.
I was gonna say, too bad he doesn't look like an athlete. You know, poor guy.
Yeah. So, anyways, I thought that was interesting. The last little thing I saw, I don't know if you saw this. There was a guy from the Buffalo Bills who the Bills are having a rough season, and
imagine.
And I guess it was so rough, he decided to retire at halftime. Not after the game was over, but he retired at halftime. He goes in, they're losing, and he wasn't up to the physical challenge of playing anymore, is what it says. I've never seen anything like that, and I know his teammates were very upset. Could you imagine? Not just like, hey, I'm hurting. I've got to pull myself out of this game. I'm going to quit forever. What?
You're losing to the Chargers.
Yeah, that's even worse.
it is.
So I made me think about, you know, there's also been these athletes that have, you know, like Le'Veon Bell from the Steelers. I don't know how into football you are, but, you know, he's holding out. You know, he hasn't signed the contract. There was a guy from the Seahawks that got hurt, and he was in a contract dispute with his team, and he broke his leg or something this weekend, and he's out for the year. And so he was upset at the team. Do you have sympathy for these guys that are making – I mean, Le'Veon Bell, I think, was making $14 million or something like that. And he's upset. He wants 15 or – I guess he wants – I know he wants guaranteed money, and I get that and all that stuff. And I think they should get as much money as they can.
Right.
But the guy from the Seahawks, I think he was, like, flipping off the coaches
on
the way
out.
Oh,
yes. I did see that clip of him. Yeah.
Like, That's not good.
That's
you got to be better than that.
You do have to be better.
You
than
can't
that.
Retire at halftime. Kurt, if you hit the half marathon and it's not going your way, don't retire from running this
don't,
weekend.
Don't
I
flip
will
anybody
walk back
off either.
From Chicago in shame. Yeah, that would be the
that's
outcome
probably
of that.
Better. Yeah.
Okay, we always finish up with some movies, and I'm a real movie nerd, and I think our next podcast might be about movies. Totally. I've owned about 600 movies on DVD.
If I can interject, I saw your movie list.
Yes.
And I have to throw a flag down.
Okay.
There's not one Will Ferrell movie on that
Oh,
list.
I've got plenty of Will Ferrell movies, but let me explain what I'm doing. I started a couple years ago watching every movie I own alphabetically.
Smart. Yeah.
Good. And because I want to get my money's worth, right? I've got all these movies. I want to watch them.
At that.
Yes. And so
not an engineer though, right? Not an engineer. Cause that's
no.
Okay.
No chat coach. There's a lot of numbers. And then sometimes I would get new movies. Kurt just bought me some movies for my birthday. So now I've got three more movies I got to put into the mix. So they go alphabetically. Sometimes I have to go pick up some of the other ones. So first question, before I go through the last few I've watched, have you seen a movie? Have you seen a good movie lately? Do you watch probably animated with your kids? It's probably right.
Yeah, it's all kid movies.
I've seen no kid movies. So for the people that got kids out there,
I'm stumped right now.
Okay, we'll come back.
I have a brother who is a huge movie nerd and mm-hmm. buys every movie.
Yeah.
And so we're logged into his Apple account.
Oh, okay.
And so we see every movie.
You see
so
them.
We're waiting for Ant-Man and Wasp to drop because he's
Ant-Man
already
and Wasp.
Purchased it.
Not
and that's
seen
a kid
any of those.
Movie.
Yeah.
Ant-Man is legitimately funny.
We're going to, yeah, you know, I just, the comic book superhero
I know.
Stuff, I just
I know.
Can't get into it.
I understand.
Yeah, old school that way. I saw, what is it, Wonder Woman? That was good.
Wonder Woman's good.
Yeah. But in all those, I saw Guardians of the Galaxy, that was good. But, you know, I'd rather see a real movie about real like.
I saw I, Tanya.
I saw that too. Actually,
that
when I was
great.
In New Zealand, one of the Airbnbs had a whole list of movies, and that was one of them. I watched it in New Zealand. That was pretty cool.
It was good, right?
Yeah,
very
good.
Great.
Kurt, have you seen any movies lately?
Let's see. You stumped me too. I've been reading more than I've been watching lately.
What about Greg? Greg's got to be back there.
I watched.
Yeah,
the
I saw the last.
Crazy
Rich Asians.
Crazy Rich. Oh, how was
I
that?
I heard that's great.
My wife took me. It was okay.
It was okay. That did huge business. There's going to be eight Crazy Rich Asian movies now.
Yeah, I heard the book was amazing too.
Yeah, it'll be a whole series of stuff.
Yeah. Okay. The last one I saw in the theater, I saw The Meg.
Oh yes.
With the giant shark.
I did not see that.
Or it's not a shark, or what is it called?
A megalodon.
Megalodon or whatever. It was, so I was a big Jaws fan, huge Jaws fan. And me and Ben actually went with us and another couple friends. We thought this would be just a funny popcorn type, movie. It was good. It was not as good as Jaws, but it was pretty good. The disappointing thing, so it was so expensive. It was almost $200 million to make, and they were worried that it was going to kind of be a bust, that they originally was going to make it an R-rated movie, and then they cut out a lot of the horror, I guess, to make it PG-13 so it would sell better. And it's done really well. I think it's made $600 million around the world or something. So, and filmed, once again, in New Zealand. So that was
I didn't realize Rainn Wilson is in that.
Yeah, yeah, so. Dwight Schrute.
Yes.
He did. He was kind of like the bad guy in a way.
Did Jason Statham, did he do some karate action?
Was he?
I really like Jason Statham. I've just got a weird thing. I like his haircut. I can't do that, but.
Oh, you can pull that off.
Yeah, but.
It's okay to like Jason Statham. You don't have to apologize.
Yeah, I mean, he's just, what I mean is that it's not about him as a person. It's more about his movie choices, but I like his cheesy movie choices sometimes. But the ones that I've owned that I've watched recently, the last five, and anybody can feel free to give their input. So I saw The Exorcist. I watched The Exorcist recently. And right now they're starting this. Every year they have this Halloween in Old Town. They play these old horror movies in Old Town. And it's kind of a cool deal that they have these horror movies from back in the day, and this one was there a couple years ago. And I saw this in the theater.
Oh, you did?
Like 2 years ago, and it was one of the creepiest experiences in a movie theater I've ever had. Have you ever seen The Exorcist?
I have. It was a long time ago, and I remember I had to watch it like in the middle of the day with all the windows.
And I wasn't sure how it would hold up. I just went, I like to go to these movies and check them out in a theater. And I was like, oh, man, this is way scarier than anything that I'm breaking today. And so if you can see The Exorcist on the big screen, you'll absolutely love it. Four Rooms, are you a Quentin Tarantino fan? Some people like him, some people don't. But after Pulp Fiction, which was like his huge kind of hit, Four Rooms came out, and it was kind of got lost in the shuffle, and it's a really good movie. It's funny. It's actually directed by four different people. He's like, I think, got it put together, but Rodriguez, I'm trying to think of his first name.
Robert
Rodriguez, yeah, he directed probably the funniest part, but there's four different segments, and then it kind of ties together, and it culminates in a funny ending. And so it's one of those, if you like Quentin Tarantino, it's funny. It's not a, you know, normal Quentin Tarantino movie, so it's one of those kind of underrated movies, and Tim Roth is hilarious in that movie.
I'll have to check that out. Tim Roth is funny.
This one's kind of going way back before we were even born, but The Graduate, I watched that this last week, and I had never seen it before, so I bought it and I never seen it, and it was very, very good.
It's very good.
Dustin Hoffman actually plays a cross-country runner.
Oh, that's right.
Coming back home for the summer.
Oh, my God.
And so there you go, tying all this. This is all, we're all in one kind of area here. But, yeah, that was really good. I'd never seen it. And it, coming out, I think it was in, like, 1967. Yeah, mm-hmm. And I can imagine in 1967, Greg probably remembers. but I'm just kidding. But that would have had to have been, well, that time in the 60s, movies like that coming out, they were all kinds of crazy movies. I love finding movies like that there's some really horrible movies back then, and then there's some movies like that just still kind of hold up as pretty good movies. So that was a good one. I watched Hail Caesar, which I don't know if you're a Coen Brothers fan. It was one of their ones that people didn't like as much. You saw it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, here's what I went to Asia on the plane there. Was movies.
You catch up on all of your
movies. This was one of them.
Yeah.
And I had seen it in a theater, and I was kind of like, it's not. So I'm like, okay, I've got this 16-hour trip. I watched it again. It was better. My flight, I missed the flight because of a delay. I was in Beijing, so I had to fly to Singapore and then over to, like, Cambodia. And so I ended up watching it again. Literally the next day, because I watched every movie that there was, and I started liking it. And so it's one of those, the Coen brothers make these movies that the more you watch them, the better they are. So I bet you if you watch it again, you'll like it. And if people saw it the first time and were disappointed, you should watch it again. Because it's actually, and if you kind of like Hollywood kind of stuff, it's every time it gets a little bit better. So I would say give that one a chance.
Hail
Caesar. And then the last one, I watched the Hangover trilogy last week.
Oh.
All right in a row, all three. I watched all three. I'm assuming you've probably
seen it. Degrades as well, doesn't it?
It was really interesting because you're correct.
It's just downhill.
Except, so the first one's obviously a classic, The Hangover. It's, I think, one of the great movies in recent years, because it's hard to make a movie that funny the whole way through. And it was just consistently funny.
And
you're from
Tyson.
Vegas.
And I'm from Vegas. So,
that had to have been fun. And then, so they go to Bangkok on the second one, which basically they made the same movie again, just they did it in Bangkok and tried to make that funny, which was funny but didn't quite work, but it was like watching the same movie again. And then the third movie is like a different movie. The third movie, there isn't really like, it's more of an adventure. It's like Hangover meets Mission Impossible, because they were trying to there was, you know, the what's the kid, or what's the guy, Kim Jong. what's the guy that
I think you're
Ken Jong. Ken Jong. I was close. I was close. So he was like the main guy in the third movie.
Oh, and I think I gave up by the time the third one came out.
And you know, it was still good. If it was its standalone movie and you hadn't referred to the first two before you watched them, I think it'd be fine. But just comparing it to the first one, you can just never. There's rarely a movie that lives up to that original. Like The Godfather, that was one. Like their sequel was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. The sequel
Evil Dead 2 was actually really good. It's a classic. So we've been talking for almost an hour, so I think we've probably lost everybody that was watching originally. But thank you so much for coming.
Thank you very much for having me.
I'm excited to follow you now on your travels as you continue around the world.
Okay.
And now I have a person to ask for some advice the next time I'm going to go somewhere. And we've gotten hopefully a lot of good tips on this one. So thank you guys for watching this one, and thanks to Kurt and Greg and everybody for helping us put this on. We really appreciate them. And I think that each person we have on is going to be an interesting person from Wichita that you learn a little bit about the city and learn about some cool things about all these people. So thanks for watching, and go Shocks.
Good luck, Kurt.
Thanks.